Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
We're putting up new buildings, we're knocking down the old. We're working in the summer heat and in the winter cold. And the labour power we sell, me boys, for a hard-earned weekly pay produces mighty profits for the greedy MBA. And whether we were born here or born in Italy, in Greece, in Spain or Ireland, in England or Fiji, we all of us are workers, united we must stand, until the wealthy bludgers have been driven from our land. We faced deregistration, it backfired in the face. We're not fooled by arbitration, we won't stay in our place. We hit the bosses hard and fast to win and keep our gains, and break a couple of concrete pours to back our lug of claims. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. Our builder's labour is a name to make a man feel proud.
Good morning from the Concrete Gang, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, 8:55 on your AM dial, 3CR Community Radio, 50 years running, 50 years strong radio station and 50 years strong Concrete Gang. And joining me on the gang, we have the one and only Three Trees.
Good morning, everyone. What an introduction.
I'm getting better, aren't I?
You're the new Bruce Buffer.
I don't know about that.
And alongside him, the dulcet tones of the sparrow.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, that's fantastic. You're getting better every day, man. Every day. And
I think I forgot to say bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, didn't I?
Probably. Too busy and talking shit.
We've got to say happy May Day to everyone.
Yes.
So happy Labor Day. And joining us, we have a Roman reporter out of Maui. Maui, how are you going?
Marbles from Maui.
How are you?
Ooh, good, brother. How yourself?
Living the dream.
Living the dream. And we got Maui on because he's got a bit of a history and about the ADO Day and how the stonemasons won it, and he's had a lot ancestors a part of it. So give us a rundown on the ADO Day, mate.
All right. Yeah, so it's special to me because my great-grandmother's grandfather, Jeremiah Melbourne. So a few G's there, more G's than a rap show. So what happened was, in 1856, there was a building boom in Melbourne and a lot of government work. There was the National, the State Library, there was Parliament House, and there was also the Melbourne Uni in Swanston Street. So James Galloway and James Stevens, the Secretary and Assistant Secretary of the Operative of Masons, so basically the Stonemasons Union, they thought it was an ideal opportunity to go for the eight-hour day. And James Galloway had already had a crack in England and failed. So he thought, if we're going by the balls, we'll give it a crack. So they did what they did. They got all the workers together and they lobbied the government, all the rest of it. And it's not like you could get a stonemason the next day if they all stopped work. It was like a six-month trip on a boat. So it all came to a head at the Melbourne Uni site in Swanston Street. They dropped tools and they marched to the Parliament House, but it wasn't to go to Parliament House, it was the building site to grab all the rest of the stonemasons and labourers and plumbers back then, not too many sparkies. And that's what they did. They dropped the tools, they marched down the street and collected all the building workers on the way. And they won a 8-hour day, but the most important part of it was for no loss of pay. So the 10 hours of pay, but an 8-hour day.
How good's that?
Good. Birthplace of democracy in Victoria. Mm. And then what happened was, in recognition of their efforts, because what happened was, let's say there was a Canadian stonemason there. He went back to Canada, and he said he's over there working. They're doing 10-hour days, and then he's going, nah, fuck that. In Melbourne, they're doing 8-hour days. So then they got it, and in recognition of the rest of the world getting 8-hour days, the government awarded them a public holiday. And that's where we are today, with the public holiday.
And how did Moomba, what was Moomba involvement in all this?
So they poached it. So what happened was, every year on that day, they used to get all the carpenters on a float, all the plumbers on a float, and all the builders' labourers, they had a float, and they used to recreate the march. And that's what ended up becoming Moomba.
Mm. How good is that?
But then what I do every year, I do James Galloway Cup, and it's a running race. And so what happened, all those workers, not just the stonemasons, all those workers, they built the first trades hall with their own labour, and they raised funds by having running races and whippet races and all sorts of stuff like that. Uh-huh. So the very first trades hall, the land was donated, but all the workers, those workers, all got together and built the first trades hall and with their own money.
What a massive effort. And, and that Australia, or Melbourne, the heart of unionism in this country, deliver that for the whole world, it's unbelievable.
And that's why they got the public holiday. So in recognition of their efforts and changing the world, they got the public holiday. And what James Galloway said, and he was 28 years old. He wasn't an old man or anything. He was 28 years old, and he died at 32, so he didn't really enjoy it for much. But back then, you've got to remember, there wasn't much water around, and they were drinking beer instead of water.
Yeah, that's right. It's in the coast, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, but how good's that? Everyone was proud of getting an 8-hour day. Now it's like frowned upon. Oh, you're only working 8 hours and you get a public holiday. I mean,
yeah,
like,
public holiday in recognition and the rest of the world. So a world-changing event, and people don't realise, they get the holiday, they've got no idea. So every year I do that James Galloway Cup, and we have this conversation. People are astounded. Like, they've been in the industry 10, 15 years. They had no idea. And so right here, you can go up there, the old quadrangle in Swanson Street at the Melbourne Uni. There's a plaque. You can see their handiwork, some beautiful stone masonry. And there's a plaque, a little plaque, and that's where they drop their tools. And apparently, through my ancestor and family, apparently the deal was already done when they were walking down, and they ended up at the pub in Fitzroy, and when they all landed at the pub, the deal was already done, and they reckon it was a massive celebration.
Oh, how good would that have been?
100%.
One day we might be able to do that when all this is over.
Yeah, hopefully.
But, you know, and a lot of people, like, you know, you hear all the bad stuff about the CFMEU, but that's a part of our union. We were the ones, our members, 100%. Traditionally would have won. That's our members. That's our work. Yeah. It's bricklayers' work. It's stonemasons' work.
That's the bricklayers, So my ancestor, Jeremiah Melbourne, he was sent to Port Arthur when he was 15 for knocking off a pair of trousers and some biscuits. He did 7 years hard labour at 15 years old in Port Arthur. As soon as he got
freezing
out,
cold.
As far away from Tasmania as possible, and he landed in Melbourne, become a high-class stonemason. But, yeah, so that's why it's important to me, and it should be important to every Victorian, because we changed the world right here.
Well, that's why we've got to hold on to it.
Go and touch the plaque. You can feel it. You get a sense of what happened, and you can see the handiwork. So.
And 100%, and it's, like we said, we got May Day today. I think it trades all the May Day march and all that's at 1 o'clock, or it starts at 12, so get down there. We've got barbecues and there's all sorts of stuff down there. So
A few suds,
and it's to celebrate what we've done, you know what I mean? And look, like I said, it's our union and we're proud of it and we should always be proud of it. And it makes us proud when you hear we're running Brickies apprenticeships and all that, and we're looking for intakes for Brickies apprentice. You know, that's the sort of proud history this union should be known for.
And like you said, it's our day. It's getting, it's another day we don't want hijacked by all these suit wearing, pretend unionists and all that. There's pretend politicians coming down thinking they care about the working class. It's our day, you know?
Yeah. Have we got any more questions, lads?
No.
All good. Thanks a lot for coming on.
But yeah, that James, look out for that James Galloway Cup. Last year it was sponsored in $1,000. It's getting bigger than the store gift.
And an apprentice won it, didn't he?
Yeah, Sparky did.
Yeah, we're not copying that.
We need to get a fit.
Nah, he come from way back too. He deserves it, didn't he?
You did. He actually missed the start.
Yeah.
And come from behind, and like most Sparkies.
Yeah.
So, we're not copping that. So we need, if anyone's got a brick, a grandson who's really fit and really fast racing and wants to do a Brickies apprenticeship.
We'll get him there next year. We'll get him in training. We need him in training.
It's funny you say that because I'm trying to get Gout out a job with FK.
Yeah, good.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Appreciate it, mate.
See you, mate.
Cheers.
Bye.
Yeah, that's a cracker. Yeah. So, and it is, mate. Like we said, it's our day, and we should be proud of it. And make sure you get down there. We've got a lot of members in that that go to May Day, and we should all be down there and celebrate May Day and really celebrate the day. It should be an actual public holiday on the Friday to celebrate it, like everywhere else in Australia. But it's not so.
And it also shows a bit of appreciation for what those people did back in the day, They down tools, in hard times, really hard times back then, you weren't eating.
And I guarantee the government would have tried to say, oh, that's illegal, the media would have demonised it, and now everyone celebrates it, but at the time when you win these things, you know, they're not always, nothing's done easy.
If you were to present that nowadays, you'd be called some sort of woke anarchist or something.
Imagine CFMU tries to win an 8-hour day.
How dare they?
That's the problem. It's like all their good conditions are frowned upon. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. The bosses are always going to frown upon
and
it.
And then people that aren't getting it, they're shit can't. Well, you fight for it, you get it, and you'll love it too.
Yeah. And what's it all come down to? It's called bargaining. You're bargaining. People say you're standing over people. No, it's called bargaining.
Yeah,
you agree to what you want. We've got a log of claims, and this is what we agreed upon. It becomes an enterprise bargaining agreement.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But that the papers don't want to run that story either, you know, do they really?
Doesn't sell.
When you take protective action, or you take industrial action, or you, as a union official, you put pressure on a company to sign an EBA to, you know, get better outcomes for your members, which they deserve. A part of what they want is what the industry's got, just decent paying conditions for hard day's work for an honest day's pay. But that's all frowned upon, and that's illegal, and that's bad, and you shouldn't be able to do that. And you know, but then when the boss sacks a worker because he's, you know, not performing, or locks him out without pay, or does anything, that's and puts fine. Pressure on, or deliberately loses work so he can get rid of a workforce and bring in labour hire at cheaper rates, that's all fine.
Yeah.
But if the worker has any sort of strength or any sort of power, it's demonised and taken away. You know what I mean?
And it's demonised by the media. They go into an office all day.
Who owns the media? Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not to get the old tinfoil hat on, but it's the truth.
It's actually tiring. Run the same old story every time.
If if there's no positive stories about how the construction workers or just working class people in general have benefited this country.
There's no positive stories out there, full stop. Look at this Adrian Portelli. Cheap fuel, and they're making him out to be a demon. You know, like he's actually giving people cheaper fuel.
He's cutting someone's lunch, though. Yeah. That's probably what it was.
But that's not you think you put that as a good news story. Look at this. Yeah. You're getting cheap fuel. How good's that?
No, exactly right.
He's the enemy.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
And, you know, I know some parts of the trade union movement, you know, I've heard people say we're arrogant. We're not arrogant. We're confident and we want to win and want to do our best for our members.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be demonised for doing that. But the other part of it is too, in my time of this union, and I've never ever heard a leader or an official or a shop steward or even a member say it. We've never criticised anyone from taking protective action. We've always supported them. We've actually marched with them when it had not even an issue to do with us, and we've marched for better conditions for
the teachers
and nurses and people we think should be paid. And you hear parts of the media go, well, nurses should be paid more because construction workers get more. Well, yeah, we 100% agree. We would never demonise a worker for having a go or getting paid, and we'll never tell a boss to pay anyone less than what they should be entitled to.
But the reality of their argument there is they're not campaigning for the nurse to get paid more. They're campaigning for us to get paid less.
100%.
So they want to bring it down to the, you know what I mean? So they don't really give a shit about the teacher, the nurse, any of that stuff. They don't give a rat's ass about it. It's all about attacking us, and they use them as a football and try and pit the two working class people together.
Fiery's having a pay rise in 5 years.
Under a Labor government. Yeah. That's a joke.
Yeah, disgusting. It's pathetic. Disgusting.
And like you said, you're campaigning for our people to get less. You know what I mean?
Not to bring the rest up.
It's not like the government or the industry or bosses go, well, let's give the nurses 10% and the CFMU can get 2%, because they're getting 2%, we can give the nurses 10%. Like, it doesn't work like that. Our agreements are done with private sector.
Yeah.
We don't do agreements with the government. We do it with private sector. And because we're an effective union at doing that, the government and the people get involved and attack our conditions. Like, people go on about, oh, they go home when it rains. Well, we do, because it's a safety issue, and
we don't work in the rain.
We don't work in the rain. You work in an office. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm sure if your office sprinklers turned on and you were getting wet, you'd probably go home.
Yeah.
You know
100%.
What I mean? Like, if the windows broke and the rain came in, bang! Like, that's what happens.
Or the time when we went onto the Westgate Tunnel project, and their emergency response wasn't up to date. They didn't have a proper response, and they hadn't drilled it properly. And then they said, oh, no, we've done a drill. They did a drill on a day off, and there was no one there.
Mm.
And then, but if you worked in an office, and they have the exact same responsibilities, they have to do emergency evacuation procedures.
They have to have the fire wardens and all
if
that.
If you didn't have emergency evacuation procedure in a building, your workplace would be shut down as well.
Oh.
So it's no different. You know what I mean? But just because we're construction workers, who fight for what we're entitled to, apparently we're the worst in the world, you know?
Oh, 100%. Like smoko sheds and that. Oh, they went home because there wasn't enough toilets. Yeah, if you worked in a workplace with no toilets, what, you think that's reasonable that you have to put up with that?
Unfortunately, we just follow the codes of practice and all the stuff that's in place. We didn't write the rule book, we just enforce it. And that's the reality of what it is. But apparently you're some sort of criminal for doing it. So.
All right, we better cut to a track. And the first track is Dropkick Murphys. Obviously, International Day of Mourning was on during the week, so a few of us are down there. And, you know, it's sad to think of how many construction men. We'll talk about it after, but, you know, this song's for that. What a great song, and it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? We are, as working class people, we are the first ones to die when it goes to shit. Like, you look at the trouble with the oil, the first person to feel the pinch is the bloke who's got only $50 in his bank and not a 50 million. You know what I mean? Like, we actually feel it every time, you know, when you're trying to fill your car up and especially when you say International Day of Mourning, the amount of deaths and the amount of people have died, you know, right across the workforce. You know, you've got construction workers that have passed away. You've got farm workers that have passed away.
Yeah.
You've got coppers that have passed away. No, you know, like people, anyone who died at work, you know
nobody's
what I mean?
Nobody's immune to it. No one's immune to it.
So, you know, and it was sad there's not more workers there. I know I was down there and I thought, a lot of politicians, you know, they sit there and they all get there and they all like, I know the Premier spoke here in Victoria and a lot of other ministers for WorkSafe and ministers of this. And, you know, I know we've got, and it was partly won by our union and the building unions pushing on for industrial death.
Mm.
But we get to see people, you know, prosecuted and going to jail for that. You know, they write all this legislation. But if you keep running, and people did mention, if you keep running WorkSafe as an advisory board, WorkSafe should be like the police force. If you break the law, you speed in, you get fined. You get whacked. Right. I don't come in here and say, you should maybe do this or you should do that.
I recommend you do this.
And we all remember when The young bloke got killed at the race course on the Camilo job. You know, WorkSafe butchered that, you know, investigation that much that the charges got thrown out. The poor apprentice was working by himself. He fell, in which he shouldn't be doing in the first place. And they butchered the, you know, evidence that bad, no one could get charged. So
just goes to show you who works for who. And you know what? There is WorkSafe inspectors in there who are trying to do their
job.
There's
some brilliant ones
out
there.
As soon as they write out non-disturbances and then put prohibitions on it and improvements, they get a phone call from the higher-ups saying,
back off,
remove that. Remove that right now. Yeah. Put that down to an improvement notice. Yeah. You know what I mean? When there's a clear issue there. So, you know what I mean? Who's benefiting who there?
And you see in that, you know, that kangaroo caught up in Queensland at the moment, you know, like, please. Builders going, they wrote, WorkSafe come in because the CFMU got them down there and they wrote so many notices on us. I've never seen so many notices.
You're doing the wrong thing.
You wouldn't get a notice if you weren't doing the wrong thing.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like,
right?
The CFMU might have pointed out the problem and was smart enough to know what the problems were and how. Probably know how to fix them too, but you don't want to communicate. But you're having a go at them because they're weaponizing safety. Well, if there isn't a safety issue there, then
there's no issue.
There's no issue. You know what I mean?
Exactly, like, right.
So instead of demonize because people point out safety issues, maybe have a look at your own work systems and all that, and, you know.
Exactly right.
Instead of dropping the bar to the lowest commonator, let's, you know, lift the bar.
They can never go above and beyond for safety, can they?
They never go to the highest level of safety. It's always the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And then the reality is we're there doing what we have to do to stop
workers
those
getting
numbers
killed.
Being added to the National Workers' Day in the following year.
100%.
You know what I mean? The reality of it is they don't care. You know what I mean?
Especially when you see what the Liberal Party in Queensland have done, and or the LNP up there, as they're known, Liberal National Party, taking away the safety right of entry for union officials and all that because, you know, they use safety over the top. Well, our members are dying. Like, you see that Cross River Rail in there. We've had members die on that job. We've had construction workers die on that job.
Yeah.
But you're not demonising the bloke who made the profit off the job, the
or
boss,
sent the worker
or the government who did the deal with the builder to do that job. You're worried about the poor construction worker who's sticking up for himself so his friends don't die.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Now, speaking of that commission, old mate didn't do too well last week, did he?
Oh, Watto.
Mate. He was...
bubbling chin Watto.
He was jumping around like a frog in a sock. He didn't know what to be doing.
He wasn't even answering any questions, was he? No.
You should have went through the evidence because obviously, I didn't go off, is it? Notes, I went off my own notes. Where are your notes?
They should be there.
I don't know whether they should be in there. Even the commissioner, he turned around, he was laughing at him. He says, well, they better be there.
Yeah.
And then they ended up saying, all right, we better adjourn this and we'll come back tomorrow. And what happened the next day? They vacated it. Yeah. So that means they didn't turn up. So old mate Jeffrey gets his ass handed to him by first cross-examination. The first cross-examination where they've had any hard questions asked at him, and he folded like a deck chair.
Yeah. So, but they're not going to publish any of that.
Yeah, so he basically said what he was saying about stuff about the $15 billion and all that stuff, and all the stuff in his fantasy report was all his opinion.
Bullshlagging.
And then the one time where they brought up in the commission, they brought up about actual criminal activity. It turns out it was nothing to do with the CFMU. And he says, yeah, but it didn't have anything to do with the CFMU, so I just didn't engage it.
Yeah.
So you seen wrongdoing and criminality.
Because it had nothing to do with us.
Because it wasn't the CFMU, it was a different union, and because it was a different builder, they turned around and
said,
no, it's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with me. I'll just see you later. You know?
100%. And it just shows he sort of probably embarrassed himself a bit because he's not, like, being a student of the law, I would have thought he would have been all over that and procedure and, you know, how to do an investigation and, you know, being quite smart and, you know, tertiary educated.
It just shows how biased it is, you know what I mean? It's a one-sided opinion and that's all it is, you know? And I also picked up that none of the media outlets really ran it.
It doesn't really fit their narrative, does it? Like,
But the likes of all these other papers and news media outlets are happy to run with fantasy stories that are coming up, but apparently they read out too many safety notices. So, what does that tell you?
Especially when you got MIT professors coming out and saying the actual figures they're throwing around is not working. Like, if you look at the fuel crisis now, the cost of things are going up. That's COVID, the cost of things are going up.
Yeah.
But you can't demonise and blame it all on construction.
The wages didn't go up that much.
No, they're indexed in.
And the wages are locked in for 5 years, so you can see what they're going to be. That's 100%. How you price a job off the wages.
Exactly right. They're not silly.
It's materials that are going up. And they can't. They don't know how to build half of them.
Oh, yeah. Site management is very struggling, and, you know, like, it's unheard of. And they're signing, the developers are making them sign on the timelines where they have to throw extra labour and extra things at it to get it across the line.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the reality.
Retand, they're in it three or four times just to screw
on the run.
Screw the number down that bit more.
Yeah. All right. Another big shout out. Can we all get down there? Obviously, May Day starts at 12, but I think the actual, what was that, Eddie?
12:30.
But get down there at 12. We're always running a bit late. So
there's
sausages. There's a lot of stuff. Good activities for the kids. And then I think the march starts at 2. So we'll march around the city, make a bit of noise. And, you know, let's go down and celebrate the stonemasons. So that's today. So if you're listening, go down, get down there, have a bit of a few beverages, a bit of a yarn, and hear some old stories from the good old lads.
Will Ozzy Ostrich himself be on the grill? Well,
Scallywag, you will. We better get in the Scallywags.
Fulton Hogan out at out in Tarnate, playing up like a second-hand
The members out there elected a rep or a safety rep, and they don't want to recognise them.
Oh, that's handy. So that's handy.
Would you believe it?
That's how good they
are. A couple of us were out there the other day. Absolute shit show. Absolute shit show.
We got anyone else?
Who's been sucking up?
Jeffrey Watson.
or anyone that thinks about working the Mother's Day coming up.
Oh, you got to love your mum.
We've had a few phone calls already.
Oh,
you're kidding me.
Yeah, so.
Sukis?
Suki Lalas.
Oh, Pauline Hansen.
Pauline Hansen.
She was sucking her boat out.
Well, she's not sucking. She just got a jet.
Gifted her plane.
She was sucking that fuel costs are costing Gina Reinhart too much money for her fuel for her plane around, so.
Yeah. Nothing unusual about someone just giving you a plane, really.
Does she have to lodge that and make sure that's all kosher, or can you just get one?
It's not costing the taxpayer anything, believe it or not.
Bull
apart from her vote on whatever Gina Reinhart wants.
We have to nominate anything that's over $100.
100%.
Yeah.
There you go. One route for one, another route for another,
We can't even go out and have a meal without bloody.
Yeah.
I tell you who's liking a bit of a sook lately. Is it just me or Icon, Gredler? Is he sook?
Gredler's sooking. And Capital actually wanted to work the Mother's Day.
Capital, has anyone ever told them people are entitled to a break? They need to learn about the 8-hour day.
They do.
All right. So who are we going with, Scallywags?
Fulton Hogan.
Fulton Hogan and Suki Lala.
Pauline Hansen.
So we go out the same old way. Dare the struggle.
Dare to win.
If you don't fight,
you lose.
And everyone get down the May Day and have a great day.
Through and through.
wages couldn't care. Employers aren't fair, but we will always be right in there, fighting for better pay and conditions. It's always been our tradition. We're the CFMEU, and our members won't be screwed. Yeah,
we're proud and strong.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.